Survive to Thrive at www.survive2thrive.net. That's survive2thrive.net. We hope you'll find the commentary from our hosts interesting and helpful. Steve Quayle will hopefully be back soon. He's on sabbatical right now. Hawk is sitting in for him on Fridays. Hawk is also doing the show on Thursdays. Steve St. Clair, Darren Craddock, and occasional guests on Wednesdays. Nathan Leal on Tuesdays, and Darren on Mondays. These times are hard for many, and being prepared is becoming more and more important. Our hosts want to keep you informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas of your life. With health in mind, this show's sponsor, EnerHealth Botanicals, has added over 40 liquid herbal combinations for all of your ills. They are high quality and give real results. EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with information, but also with incredibly effective products designed to bring you to optimum health, your natural state. By supporting EnerHealth, you support this network and your own health. With good health, we all fare better in all the roles we play in life. Go to www.survivetothrive.net and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right, or call them at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R. F as in Frank, O-O-D as in dog.com. Many of our listeners are already taking the products that EnerHealth has to offer, and we thank you for that. Their EnerFood product will extend the life of your stored food supplies by one-third, simply by taking one tablespoon a day. When you get the nutrients you need, you tend to eat less, and what is more, it has a two-year shelf life. Also, take a look at their organic cocoa and coffee, as well as their other immune-boosting herbal supplements. There are incredible specials for network listeners, and these are often changing, so be sure to tune in frequently for important information and great prices. We trust that the information our hosts and myself give on this show is truly helpful. We want to help you all to stay healthy and informed, so that you can better serve your family and community today and in these ever-changing times. Thank you for listening.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Liao, and today is Tuesday, March 8th, 2011, the year of our Lord. For those of you taking notes, the website is watchmanscry.com. And as I have watched the continual stream of events that is flowing across this earth, I find myself asking, which one of them is going to be the catalyst that throws this planet into a tailspin? Which of the coming events is going to jam phone lines across the country? Which of the coming events is going to cause a tweeter overload? By the way, I have a confession to make, my friends. I still have not figured out what tweeter is. So you're not alone if you also do not know. But that's a side note. But regarding the coming events, there are a wide variety of news choices that can accommodate the question that I just asked. Will it be one thing that occurs? Will it be several things that happen? Last week, I presented a possible scenario. I presented it in the form of a simulation of a nuclear attack happening while I was live on the radio. And you know, folks, eventually, there is going to be a breaking story occurring when we least expect it. And that was the point of the program that I did last week. When that major cataclysmic thing does happen, are you going to be ready? I know that it is impossible to be ready for everything, but it is possible to be ready for some things. For example, it is possible to be spiritually ready when the event occurs. Folks, as the divine visitation continues across this planet, those that are wise and those that are listening are going to take measures to achieve spiritual readiness. This world right now is in a tailspin, my friends. It is on the brink of demolition in so many areas. Economically, socially, politically, geologically. There are many, many things that are happening right now. and perhaps a friend of yours asked you to listen to this program, and they said, you need to hear what this guy talks about, because he talks a lot about the things that are coming. And my friends, it's not easy to hear someone on a radio program say, hey, how are you doing? By the way, did you know God is judging this planet? I know that's not easy to hear, folks. I know that that is a hard pill to swallow, but the reason that I am here talking about it is so that you can know what to expect and so that you can know what you can do about it. If you're late in the game, if you're just finding out about this situation, then I would encourage you to listen to this message and also to go to my website and listen to the other messages that have been assembled to explain the many categories of things that you can expect to see on world headlines in the coming weeks and months. This ride is going to last for a while. It's not going to be over in the next few months. It's not going to be over even in the next year. This thing is going to last a while, folks. Now, getting back to what I was talking about, spiritual readiness. Allow me to describe what spiritual readiness is not. It is not the pompous self-confidence that has recently been on display by cartoon boy Charlie Sheen. He is a very good example of a poster child of silly antics of arrogance. He claims that he is all about quote-unquote winning with his quote-unquote goddesses that are shacked up with him. And he testifies with confidence that he has tiger's blood running through his veins. And he says that he is an Adonis, which would mean that he thinks he is quote-unquote divine. My friends, if you're a Charlie Sheen fan, I am not saying this to offend you or to anger you. I'm just using him as the prime example of what spiritual readiness is not. And you know, when you think about it, Charlie Sheen is really too easy. I really do not have to go into detail to explain how sad and pitiful his present display has become. It's almost as if one of his wires has become disconnected. But he is a prime example of what happens when a life is left unrestrained. And right now, Charlie does not need a bunch of yes men surrounding him. He needs friends who are man enough to tell him the truth. Will any of Charlie's friends be brave enough to tell him the truth? You know what an enabler is, folks? In Charlie's case, it's a person that would walk up to him and shake his hand and stare at him with a silly grin saying, you're so cool, you're Charlie Sheen. And then proceed to say nothing, but instead to take Charlie's hand and walk to the edge of a cliff and then say, hey, Charlie, it looks awesome. Look at this. Let's jump. And then to proceed to jump over the cliff like at the end of that movie Thelma and Louise. Now, why am I bringing this up? I am saying this because Charlie Sheen is not quote-unquote cool right now. Folks, he's lost it. He's headed for destruction right now. He's headed for potentially losing his own life, and worse yet, losing his own soul. Now, the good thing about his situation right now is that if he does need to hit bottom before he turns around, well, he is sure getting close to the bottom right now. In fact, I would say that he is at the bottom. He just doesn't realize it. Nathan, why are you talking about Charlie Sheen? This is Survive to Thrive. This is why, folks. Because I want it to be known that if anyone out there happens to be listening who knows Charlie, be a real friend and tell him the truth. Now, the least that we can do is to pray for Charlie, but the second reason that I'm bringing him up is because his antics are a very colorful example of how much blind America is acting right now. You know, folks, it's obvious that Charlie is in miry quicksand. We see it, but he does not. He's sinking in the muck up to his waist, and still he's proclaiming, I'm not sinking, I'm winning. Or he may even go on to say, I don't sink, I rise. I look down on all of you, inbreds and trolls. Duh, winning. And you know, folks, in the same way, we have America sinking in quicksand, sinking in the muck, but still proclaiming that everything's okay. America is in quicksand right now. America is in very deep trouble. Even though America has an addiction with indulgence and consumption, America still will, just like Charlie Sheen, say, our efforts are winning.
Our QE2 is about winning. Our jobs report is about winning. And our efforts in Iraq and Afghanistan are winning. The rest of the world is a bunch of complainers. But that's because they're trolls.
You see, my friends, it appears that America has Charlie Sheen syndrome. America is a legend in her own mind, believing that without America, the world would become a rusty tin can. And sadly, it's that type of pompous arrogance that refuses to face the reality of her plight. And what plight is that? Well, that her show has been canceled, and the world is growing weary with her silly antics. Charlie Sheen is in a pretend land that is a lie, and no matter how hard he tries, it is not true. And to partake in that lifestyle is to make your life a prison cell. And in his case, it is a gilded cage. Now, aside from old Charlie, many Americans, Europeans, many world citizens are also playing the pretend game. And this pretend game gives an open door to moral failure. Because when people are in moral failure, they don't worry. Because they try to convince themselves that it's living a dream. It is living a fantasy. And we can observe this in many who are shackled in the prison of lust, in the lifestyle of secret marital affairs, secret relationships of sexual sin. It is justified because the person treats it like a pretend fantasy. Therefore, it's not real. And this pretend game has become their secret place when they hide. Conclusion? Moral failure happens in the land of pretend and fantasy because it's not real. And perhaps in a cheap dime store romantic novel, this may seem glamorous, but the truth of this matter is that it is not real, and it's temporary. You know, my friends, when someone partakes of a lifestyle of pretend that includes fantasy and sexual indulgence, it's futile. And history has proven that this life of pretend always has a steep cover charge and a very expensive bounty in order to escape. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says that this type of thinking is alienated from God because it is walking in futile thinking. It is walking in darkness. It is walking in corruption and in deception. Announcement. Charlie Sheen syndrome does not work, my friends, and most of you know that. So why would anyone pretend and trust in fantasy instead of the truth? Well, first of all, it's because the person doesn't want the truth. Those that are partaking of fantasy land do not want to know the truth. Nathan, why are you talking about all this? This is why, folks. Because, again, we are in a season of God's judgment. We are in a season of God making a visitation upon this planet. We're in a season of God plowing this earth over. And as these events transpire and continue to arrive, every one of you that are listening are going to need to be at the level of utmost attention to your relationship with God. If, and I qualify it with a big if, my friends, if you want to endure and if you want to achieve the best results. Those of you that have been listening for long enough have that passion. You want to know the truth. You want to know what's going on. You want to be ready. You want to be aware. You want to be vigilant. And you're striving to be settled in your heart with God and found forgiveness in God. I know that many of you do have that passion and earnest desire for God. Or perhaps you're still on the fence. Perhaps you're still in the valley of decision. Or may I say indecision. My heart's cry for you, my friend, is that you do find Him. Now, after you find God and after you make efforts to grow closer to Him, the goal that all of us have is to be sheltered in Him as His judging hand moves across this planet. And here's where the line of separation actually becomes apparent. As God's judgment is going to move across this land, it is going to happen in several areas. And some of these events are going to result in loss of life, in pain, in heartache, in sorrow, and in grief. Christ Church New Zealand is one example. God is judging New Zealand right now. And God allowed His visitation to shake the land of Christchurch. Right now, they are picking up the pieces. And for those that felt the shaking, they're going to need to find the peace of God right now. So folks, keep praying for the survivors and for those that are enduring the shaking that has happened in Christchurch. But as I was saying, as these events continue to wash across the land in the tsunami of God, the wise ones will seek to be sheltered in the secret place of God. And I want to talk about that right now. Now think about this, folks. In this world, we have some that are striving to dwell in the secret place of God. And at the same time, we also have others who are dwelling in the pretend place of this earth. Now remember that story of the dead animals at the beginning of this year? The dead birds, the dead fish? Over the past several weeks, I have spoken about this many times. In the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says, the land will mourn. And then it says, they that dwell in the land will languish or waste away. Now, folks, think about what I just read right there. The land will mourn. Those that dwell in the quote-unquote land will languish. Now, keep that in mind. Dwelling in the land means languishing. And I present a choice now. You are either seeking to dwell in the secret place of God, which is a verse found in Psalms 91 that says, he that dwells in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But think about those words. He that dwells in the secret place shall abide under God's shadow. So here's the choice. You can dwell in the secret place of God, and then you'll be under his shadow. Or, according to Hosea 4:3, you can dwell in the land, and to those that dwell in the land, that means they're not dwelling in God's secret place. So it's either one or the other. You can only be dwelling at one place at a time. So what are the ingredients of dwelling in God's secret place versus the ingredients of dwelling in the land? Let's talk about that real quick. When you dwell in the land, that means that you're partaking of what the land offers. And here on this planet, what does this land offer? Well, that's easy. It offers what we see happening in Charlie Sheen's life. It offers a life of pretend, of fantasy. It offers a life that denies reality, a life that ignores reality. It offers a life that ignores what's happening. That's the life of pretend. That's the life that dwells in the land. It doesn't want to know what's going on. And that's why there are many people that you try to share the warning message with, but they don't want to listen. Why is that? It's because they want to stay in fantasy world. It's because they don't want to know about reality. They just want to pretend. They don't want to know what's happening. And you try, and you try, and you try to warn them. But still, they'll have none of it. They don't want to know. And it frustrates you. It wears you out. It grieves you. My friend, this is one of the reasons that they don't want to know. It's because they want to dwell in the land. The land offers a story of fantasy, and it doesn't want to know what's happening. So, what is happening right now? That's what I want to talk about for the rest of this program. Let's talk about that. My friends, what is coming to this earth is not going to be a cakewalk. And it requires the utmost attention of the wise ones. It needs a constant response from every one of us. Because our response to what's coming, as far as being equipped, is going to determine where we're dwelling. Our response to what's coming is going to affect our outcome. So here in the land of America, the land full of many that pretend, America is essentially the land of nobody cares. But my friends, I do care. And I know that most of you also do care. You care about what the truth is. You care about what reality is. And reality says that we're in a true predicament. The wise ones should earnestly strive to find out the predicament and make arrangements to weather the predicament. So let's talk about our predicament right now. Let's talk about the episode that is occurring right now. Let's talk about how every one of us, that means you, that means me, are going to play a role in the episode that has already begun. Let's talk about what has happened and transpired in the last few days. And let's talk about some of the things that are looming right now. It's really amazing. Since this year started, the stories just continue and continue to unfold. And right now is no different. This week is no different. This month, the month of March, is no different. Today's March the 8th, but in a few days, the whole world's going to be watching an event that's going to be coming in Saudi Arabia. And depending on how this thing plays out, is going to influence the outcome of our economic downfall. It may speed up the economic turmoil that we're facing right now, or if the outcome is positive, then it may slow down the economic turmoil that is still continuing to unwind. As we examine and pay attention to the things that are happening on this planet, it's very apparent that the entire globe is intertwined and attached in so many areas. The once independent nations that are scattered throughout this planet are now interwoven in a global economy that leaves none of them unscathed when something else happens on a different part of the world. The global economy has now proven that the world has shrunk and gotten smaller, because when a political event happens on one side of the earth, it affects the news stories on the other side of the earth. If there's turmoil, if there's a flood, a fire on one side of the earth, it affects the residents of the other side of the earth. So this world is now connected. And as we continue watching this world's turmoil grow hotter, the oven of the world's economy is increasing in temperature. And as we watch the temperature rise, there can only be an outcome in many of the areas that we're observing. And that is this, folks. Eventually, we're going to be witnessing chaos. And that makes me wonder, if one part of the world can so easily affect another part of the world because of economic turmoil, then why would a global economy continue to sound like a good idea with some of the elite that want the New World Order? They say it's a good idea for the world to be united, but if any part of the world can be an ignition source of catastrophe for the rest of the world, how is that a good idea? Because from my point of view, what it's doing is making the entire world more volatile. What it's doing is placing several fuses inside of every country of this planet. And if one fuse is lit in nowhere land Asia, it's going to cause paranoia in Europe and in Africa and over here in the United States. So I don't see how that's a good idea, folks. I give the New World Order globalism plan a big fat F. But I know that my big fat F is not going to stop them, because after all, it's Bible prophecy. So Bible prophecy is going to happen. And that's exactly what we do see happening right now. Bible prophecy is coming together, folks. Right now, in spite of denial, it's happening. The book of Revelation says in chapter 13 that the one world government beast is going to rise up out of the sea at some point in man's history. It's going to take over the world. It's going to be divided in 10 parts. And for a short season of 3.5 years, it's going to create havoc upon this planet. And it's going to have sharp fangs, sharp claws, that is going to be able to grasp the lives of Christians and those that fear God. And for a short season, it's going to be allowed to overcome the saints. That's reality, folks. We can't stop that. And that's why it is up to every one of us to get to that place with God, so that we're strong and so that we can endure whatever the world throws at us. Now, before the New World Order beast rises up out of the sea, this world is going to go through a period of chaos, which will cause the world to want the beast to rise up out of the sea. So chaos has to happen first. We are going to witness this thing. And that's what we see happening right now. We see the pieces on the grand chessboard being rearranged, moved around. Political leaders that would not have fulfilled these prophecies are being done away with right now. That's why we're seeing some of the Arab nations replace their leaders right now. But we're not finished, folks. There are other Arab countries that are going to replace their leaders. But before they do, some of them may engage in civil war and uprising. That's what's happening in Libya. Other countries in the Arab world have already been experiencing this. So this chaos that needs to happen before Bible prophecy can allow the one world government to rise up is going to play out first. The thing that we do not know is, how long is it going to take? Will the Arab world be in chaos for 5 or 10 years, and then the dust will settle and the New World Order beast will rise up? Will it play out in 1 year? I don't know, folks. I haven't seen every single event that's going to happen, but I do know this. As these things unfold, they're going to affect a lot of different categories that will affect you. They will affect your lifestyle, your pocketbook. They will affect how much money you have at the end of the month. They'll even affect whether or not you get a paycheck and what form it will be in. So that's why it's all hands on deck right now, my friends. All of us should be at our battle stations right now as far as vigilance. That's our job. And if you are a believer, if you're a Christian, then it's battle stations for you, my friend, to gain wisdom and vigilance so that we can endure this. Folks, the days of pretend are behind us. Pretending does not change the price of gas that is needed to put into your car. Pretending does not change the price of produce that continues to climb higher and higher on grocery store shelves. And in spite of what our dearly beloved United States government tells us, inflation is here, folks. Now, recently the government has said that the inflation rate is only 2%. Yes, that's right, folks, 2%. What that means is, according to the government, the price you pay for consumables this year is only 2% higher than it was last year. So let's examine that number of 2%. Does that mean that if you went into your neighborhood grocery store a year ago and spent $100, that today, a year later, you would only have to pay $102 for the very same things? Well, nope. Sorry, folks. Unfortunately, the inflation rate does not take into consideration food costs. So that part is left out. And those of you that shop for groceries, you're very much aware that what you could purchase for $100 a year ago today does not come close to what you could get a year ago. And depending on what the food is, some prices have gone up 8, 10, 15%, depending on what the item is. And they're still climbing. So when the government said inflation's 2%, when it comes to food, that's not included. Okay, well, let's lay that one aside. Does that mean that when you purchased gasoline a year ago and you spent, say, $20 in gas, does that mean it only went up 2% this year compared to last year? Well, gas is not included. And neither is food. So, you see, folks, the number of 2% is an arbitrary number that means nothing. Inflation is here. Things are becoming expensive. The dollar is losing value. The dollar's value today, it is sinking like a rock. It's losing value rapidly now. Price of food is going up. Fuel is going up. Gold is going up. And as of today's broadcast, gold is over $1,400. Silver has been moving and making gains sometimes more than $1 per day. Last week it went up $1.40, I believe it was last Thursday. Some days it goes up 90 cents, 80 cents, and we're already in the mid-30s, folks. This is crazy, which is a gain of well over 50%, maybe 60, 70% in 1 year. So oil is racing back up to record levels, and since the uprising that began in February, the price of oil has climbed between 20 and 30% just in the last month. So, folks, when you hear the old quote that inflation is only 2%, and if those talking heads get on your cable news channel, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, and they say inflation is being held down, the numbers are good, the employment numbers are good, folks, those are not true, because the proof in the pudding is the price we are paying for these things that I'm mentioning, that I am talking about. The commodities market is the measure of how expensive things are. We've been talking about this for several months now. They continue to climb higher and higher. Corn has doubled in the past 6 months. And the price of wheat has also doubled since last year. Folks, it's before our eyes. And we're just getting started. Because if oil continues to climb at the rate that it is climbing, it is going to affect the price of food even more than what we already have been witnessing. Now, why are food prices climbing? It's because the commodities market has become the new haven for people that are looking for investments. And since the United States dollar is going to be dumped as the world's reserve currency, investors are seeking other havens to place their money. And in the past, they would place it in U.S. treasuries, but now that the United States government has been conducting quantitative easing and the Federal Reserve Bank is purchasing treasuries, investors are now looking for a more sound investment vehicle, which is not the United States dollar. So they're putting it in the commodities market, which is making it climb to the stratosphere. Bottom line, folks, all the stuff on our grocery store shelves is going to climb in price. And the increases that we have already witnessed are just the very beginning of these things. Now, I want to talk about some of the things that are going on right now in this world. I want to talk about the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, Libya. I want to talk about the fuel prices, inflation, and I want to throw out some challenges. So Looks like it's time for the break, but after the break, I'm going to talk about all of these stories. So don't go away, folks. We'll be right back.
Jeff came to us through a friend, and our friend was just, he was alive when he was talking about Jeff's experience with some of our products, well, one of them in particular. And, you know, without further ado, Jeff, I'm just going to let you tell your story because I can't tell it. I mean, like you can't because you lived.
Yeah, that's how I first came to talk to Darren, is I just was driven after this event to call up the company and talk to them. And Steve Quayle and I had visited about this a lot, and he encouraged me to do that. And what had happened is, and I'll make this as quick as I can, I walk, difficult for me to run, but I walk every day without fail for exercise. Well, a woman chose to run over me with her car, and when she hit me, she's driving an SUV, and I can assure you they hurt. And she hit the right side of my body, and it just tore me up. So I end up in the hospital, emergency room, of course, all these things. They take me in, and they do a surgery, the initial surgery. They do all this blood work, and when they... You know, I survive the surgery. I come home, and then I proceed to die. I don't know how to explain it unless some of you listeners have been there. I was just looking out through my body into nothingness, and I was perfectly content. I was ready to go. I'd been through the mill, and I just couldn't do it anymore. And the friend introduces me to Interfood by force. He pours it down me, literally. And a couple days go by, and I lived alone, and he came to see me again, and I guess I had some kind of a recovery, and you might argue that, well, you would have recovered anyway, but the point is this, proof, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm not being paid to say this, I want to make that clear to listeners. I had to go back in for two more surgeries. Well, about a month and a half later, I've been taking the Interfood. I go back into the hospital. They do the pre-op. They do the blood work. I'm in the surgical room, the prep room. This doctor and the anesthesiologist come in, and they're holding these papers, and they walk up to the bed, and they sit down in these chairs, and they have the strangest look. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, something's wrong. And he says, I have to ask you some questions about your blood work. And I said, sure. He says, Do you take any supplements or vitamins or anything like that? Well, I've talked to doctors before, and I just lied. I said, I take vitamin C and stuff like that. No. And he said, this is amazing. And he starts describing blood work, and I don't have the skills to do it. But he said, before you were okay. You were in the good. But now you are right. It's amazing. It's just at a peak. And for your age and your physical condition right now, he said, this is amazing. And I said, interesting. So they do the surgery. They send me home. I go back about 3 weeks later for this third surgery. And
still taking the Interfood, right?
Still taking Interfood, yes. Still, I mean really taking it. And the reason I'm taking it is I'm recovering quickly, and I feel something. I feel this energy. I just feel good and feel strong. And so I go back. They do the same thing again. This time he says, you must be doing something. This isn't natural. And I said, yeah, I'm taking this stuff called Interfood. And he literally just stood up from this little plastic tray chair he's sitting in. He goes, I said, have you heard of it? Do you know what it is? And he goes, no, I just, and he turns around and just walks away. It's just like he wanted to hear it was a pharmaceutical. He just wanted to know that I was doing something that he could entertain. He just couldn't stand it, that it was truly some organic food that's good for you. Just very simple, something natural. And it was so disappointing. And I tried to talk to him about it another time, and he listened to me. And he said, that's really interesting. Now, I've never heard of it. And I said, you should try it. And I'm sorry. I doubt that he ever did. But when you have that kind of proof, and I mean, the scars on my body, they commented when you go back for post-ops, they said, your recovery, your healing, everything is so rapid, so, you know, your blood work, they just kept giving me, and I take these as clues that something, and Enterfood was the only, Enterfood and the coconut powder were the only two things introduced into a very, very, pretty much organic, very good diet. Anyway, I've always been good about that. But I've never gone to supplements. I've never really done those things other than a few vitamins. And now I am a firm believer.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. Today is Tuesday, March 8, 2011, the year of our Lord. And before the break, we were talking about why we need to be prepared and ready for what is coming upon this planet. Now, as the crisis continues in the Middle East, we are also watching oil futures continue to climb. And if there is a disruption in the flow of oil coming out of any of those Middle Eastern countries, it's going to affect the price of oil. Already, across the country, the average fuel price has increased 30%. I believe the national average is approximately $3.38, $3.40. But in some parts of the country, it's even higher. I believe in the state of Florida, there's one area where it's $5 a gallon. And in California, it's already over $4 a gallon. So this thing's going to continue to jump, folks. And as these prices affect the price of gasoline and diesel, these are going to have a huge impact on food markets. It's going to affect the price of fuel that farmers need in order to run their agricultural machinery. It's also going to affect the price of the commodities being delivered, the corn and the wheat, the soybeans, the sugars. Shipping companies are going to have to pay more for fuel. And then from there, the truckers need to deliver it to the grocery stores. Folks, we went through this in 08 when gas hit $4 a gallon. And I believe that back then, some of the truckers had to park their rigs because they could not afford the fuel costs. And some of them went bankrupt, went under. So here we go. 3 years later, we are about to repeat what we saw just a few years ago. The predictions for the price of fuel are no longer just $3.50, $3.75, $4. The predictions now are saying that we're going to be seeing fuel prices that are going to be in the $5 range by the middle to the end of this summer. Now, is that absolutely certain? Well, I find it interesting that a lot of the talking heads, a lot of the media outlets are announcing that that's what the price is going to be by this summer. Makes you wonder, is it all scripted, folks? Has this all been decided beforehand? Indeed, I think it has. So here we go, folks. We're watching it happen. And coming soon to your corner gas station, $5 gasoline for your vehicle. So we're going to be challenged with $5 fuel, high commodity prices, on top of what we already see happening now. What's it going to do to the remainder of the economy, folks? Well, even though the talking heads have been saying the recession ended last year and now we're in recovery, that's a lie. But now that these high fuel prices are becoming reality, we can say goodbye to any sort of recovery now. The gas prices are going to create havoc. We're staring at a blank canvas now. Anything can happen. Already, we have seen cereal prices become outrageous. Boxes of cereal are now $4 and $5, and that's before $5 gasoline. So how high is it going to go now? Are we going to see cereal for $7, $10? And that is why I have been screaming constantly like a broken record to get food while it is inexpensive. And my friends, I still abide by that challenge. So let me say it right now. Folks, get food. If you have to sell some things, get extra food. Try to find a bulk food store in your neighborhood, or even if you have to drive to a neighboring town, find a bulk food store where you can buy bags of flour and bags of rice, bags of beans, wheat, and get a hold of that food now, my friends. The time for procrastination is gone. If you have not been doing it yet, and you've been hearing me warn about this, but you still haven't done it, there's still time to go do it now, but it's going to be a little bit more painful for you now because you waited and the food has gone up just in the last several months. Wives, tap your husband gently on the shoulder and say, honey, we need to do this. Can we do this week? Or husbands, look to your wife and gently pat her on the shoulder and say, honey, we need to do this. Okay, good. Did you do it? Did you say it? Good. So just get it done, folks. Don't put it off. Today is March 8th, and already we have seen the beginnings of the fuses that are being placed in their very tactical position to ignite this planet for a massive economic meltdown. And the people of Earth need to be warned about what's coming. My friends in Europe, my friends in Australia, New Zealand, I'm pretty sure I don't have to convince you that things are very, very unstable right now. So how bad is it going to be? Well, as I was saying, here we are in the beginning of March, March the 8th, and the fuses are being placed very strategically across the world. And as these fuses become lit with a variety of choices, I guess with all those communication devices that are owned by the citizens of the planet, it's going to be very easy for friends and family to email and text and tweet their misery to one another. Nathan, you're sounding negative. My friends, I'm not trying to sound negative. I'm telling you the truth. This world is facing an absolutely disastrous, chaotic mess in the coming months. And as we look at what's happening in the Middle East, as we see what's happening in Tunisia, in Egypt, in Yemen, Algeria, we saw the uprising spread. And at first they seemed peaceful. They were nonviolent for the most part, but they continued to spread. They spread to Jordan, Syria, and the Arab nations that they have not arrived in are now finding themselves concerned. The leadership are scrambling now to make concessions with the citizens that are unhappy with their policies. Perhaps some of the wise leaders will be able to prevent chaos in their nations, but that doesn't seem to be the case for Bahrain or Libya or Saudi Arabia. As the uprising spread to Libya, I'm pretty sure by now you have heard that it has not gone well in Libya. Muammar Gaddafi did not welcome the protesting, and it has basically turned into a civil war. It's become very, very bloody. Gaddafi has killed many of his citizens. He has ordered his military to fire upon the citizens. He has ordered his air force to bomb the citizens. So it seems like they're in a full-blown civil war. And I find it interesting that at this point, the media is calling those that are unhappy with Gaddafi rebels. They're being rebellious. Interesting, huh, folks? Here in America, if our leadership turned squirrely and started acting like Mr. Gaddafi's acting, would we be the rebels or would we be patriots? So that is why I refuse to call the citizens of Libya who are unhappy with Gaddafi and fighting for their freedom, rebels. I think that insurgent is a better term, or maybe even freedom fighter. But nevertheless, many of the insurgents are now picking up arms and fighting against the government forces of Libya. And those insurgents are pleading for the world to help them. So according to some reports, NATO has boots on the ground inside of Libya. I believe in the last day or two, 8 British soldiers were caught by the insurgents and they were held for questioning and then they were let go. So the Brits have been caught inside of Libya, and I'm not sure of the details about our soldiers within the borders of Libya, but if they are, it's been on the hush-hush basis or on the level of rumors at the moment. But right now, the Obama administration is asking Saudi Arabia if they will purchase weapons from us and then deliver them to Libya. So Saudi Arabia is trying to decide if they want to do that to help the insurgents fight the Gaddafi government. Now, this places the situation in an interesting quandary because Saudi Arabia themselves are ruled by a monarchy, the family of Saud, and they are going to be having protesters there this Friday on March the 11th. If the protests go south, here's the big question. How is the Saudi government going to treat their citizens? Are they going to react violently or peacefully to the protesters? And it is an interesting situation because if the Saudi government mistreats their citizens, will the Obama administration say something about it? Because after all, the Saudis might say, you know, Americans, we bought the weapons from you and gave them to the insurgents in Libya so that they could fight Gaddafi. So we do not want you to tell us how to deal with our citizens. You see, folks, it's an interesting situation. In addition to that, the United Nations is also meeting and they are deciding on a resolution which would authorize a no-fly zone in Libya. The purpose of this is so that the Libyan government cannot use their jets to bomb the insurgents. And if the UN decides that a no-fly zone can be placed over Libya, that will give NATO the teeth or the trigger to be allowed to shoot down Libyan jets that may be in the no-fly zone. Now, whether or not they would react to that level is unseen at the moment, but a resolution that authorized a no-fly zone will give the right for even America to shoot down Libyan planes. Now, if it goes to that level, that would mean that now we have our military involved in the uprisings in the Middle East. And, you know, folks, that's just a powder keg waiting to explode. So would it stay contained to Libya? Would it spread to other nations? I don't know. Now, that's one situation that the world is watching. And getting back to Saudi Arabia, if the protests go sour this coming Friday, and if the citizens react violently, or if the government reacts violently, then the oil markets are going to become very, very unsettled. Right now, there are some oil futures that are planning for the Saudi government to have difficulty in protesting, and oil futures have already climbed up to $200 a barrel. If it does happen this Friday, folks, we are looking at oil climbing very, very quickly. So, folks, say your prayers, but we need to be vigilant. We can't just sit on our hands and say, it's not going to happen. I'm not worried about it. If it does, I'll deal with it then. Folks, in 1 week from now, we could be seeing gas that has climbed $1 per gallon. So please be vigilant. If some of you have oil tanks or fuel tanks that you are planning to fill up, I would advise you to get that done now. Don't wait. Fill up your gas tanks. If you have farm equipment, machinery, get all of those filled now. If you happen to be a farmer, get your oil tanks filled now, my friends, because we don't know what we might be facing in the next few weeks. Now, I'm hoping that this doesn't happen, but if it does, we might be looking at a different world in the next few weeks, folks. So this is the question that I have regarding that. If gas goes to $5 or $6 in the next few months, it will affect our lives. It's going to affect your life. It's going to affect how much it costs for you to go to work. And let's say it does happen, folks. Let's just for a moment visit that possibility. If it does happen, how much of an impact will it make on your life? Will it be a small one? Will it be a large one? Will it actually hinder your ability to drive? Will it make your large vehicle no longer cost effective to drive? Will you be stuck with a large gas guzzler that you will not be able to sell? And that raises another question. If some of you may have a large vehicle, something to think about, and folks, it's something to pray about. You know, it's kind of the same way in the real estate market. There are some people right now that would love to relocate to a different part of the country here in America, but because real estate prices have depreciated and because the real estate market is so cold now, a lot of people are not able to sell their houses. It's hard. It's challenging. And if we wanted to be realistic about it, one of the reasons may be because, well, my friends, maybe we waited too long and it's harder to sell now. In the same way, if some of you have huge vehicles, and you have a vehicle with a very large engine, which is a gas guzzler, please don't wait too long, folks. If this thing really happens where gas is $5 or $6 or $7 a gallon, and it stays there for a few years, and that's your primary vehicle, and you have to drive a lot of miles to get to work, you may be finding yourself in financial pain in the next few months down the road, my friend. So I encourage you to even do this, folks. Please pray about and make a consideration to Get rid of your large vehicle now while you can. While you can, my friends. So please don't wait. All right, folks? There's another thing that I wanted to share. When I was reading about the uprising in Libya and the insurgents that were fighting, I was reading about how a lot of the Libyan citizens up to this point have not really served in the military. They have not really served in the armed forces. So now they find themselves having to defend themselves, but they have the handicap of not knowing even how to fire weapons. They don't know how to be soldiers. You know, folks, I believe that a wise person learns from the example of others. And as I am observing the example of the Libyans trying to resist their government's strong arm tactics, I'm observing the example of them not being prepared and ready. So I actually have a story right here that's talking about this. So listen to this story about the insurgents, and then I have a few comments to make. All right, listen to this, folks.
The more pictures emerge of the fighting, the more it looks like a civil war. There are various front lines. This just one in the big town of Misrata. Out in the desert, it's obviously less important if Gaddafi's military can't shoot straight, and it has been striking how inaccurate their bombing runs have been from the air. While it's true that some weapons dumps have been destroyed, in many places the warplanes have continually missed their targets. But even if on occasion the rebels do find a way of shooting one down, air supremacy remains a huge psychological advantage for Gaddafi.
When we arrived, we didn't find any opposition because the people here are good. The people welcome us and greet us. But when we were inside, two Mirage planes overflew us and one helicopter. They wanted to shoot, but we shot them first.
All the same, if there are questions over the aptitude of the Libyan military, then the same must go for the rebel forces, whose euphoric advance was met with organized resistance they couldn't handle, and so little hospitals have been overwhelmed. It's also emerging that many of the fighters have no idea how to use their weapons and are injuring themselves. Some of these pictures suggest a desire to fight is all well and good until the reality of armed battle hits home.
Okay, so there you go. The story talked about some of the soldiers, and as I was watching the video, there was actually a picture. I mean, I don't mean to make light of the tragedy that's happening in Libya, but there was a picture when they said some of them have actually shot themselves. There was a picture of a soldier laying face down on a gurney, and there was blood on the right cheek of his rear end, so apparently one of his fellow insurgents shot him in the rear on accident. So, folks, you know, I was thinking about that. You know, the lesson to learn is that when there's no training in advance and when there's no practice in advance, the band of warriors and merry men are not familiar with their bows and arrows. And there's a moral of the story for us as we examine Libya's plight. Practice makes perfect, folks. And I'm curious, now that I'm watching this situation, if a Red Dawn situation were to happen here in America, many people would enlist to the ranks. But here's the question. How many would be able to shoot the apple with their bow and arrow? I know that a lot of times we've heard the warnings and the rumors that China and Russia are going to attack America one day. And if perchance that does happen in our lifetimes, folks, if it does happen while we're capable, while you're capable, there's going to be a call to arms, to the young and to the old, to the warriors and to the wannabes. But here's the question. How many will be able to answer that call? How many are just going to be all talk, but they're not going to know how to handle their weapons? How many will have their arrows ready? You know, a sword is mighty in the hand, but it's heavy to him that is untrained. It's something to think about, folks. I know that a lot of times Christians say their choice of response is going to be pacifism in the event of violence as the lights go out, as doom arrives. But, you know, folks, if we were facing the situation of the Libyans, it would be sad if some people who were willing were not able to contribute because they don't have training. So what's the moral of the story? What am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is it doesn't hurt to read a few books if you might be concerned that maybe that's a situation that we may encounter in the future. It doesn't hurt to get to know a few friends that maybe can show you some things. In the event, folks, and I say in the event that some intruders were to come upon our land, both foreign and domestic, I don't think that any of you want to end up on YouTube with a red stain on one of your cheeks as you're laying face down. All right, folks? That's just a side note. And I guess I'll leave it at that. Folks, I think we're facing a very, very volatile situation as far as what's going to happen with the price of oil. And we need to be ready for it. We need to be very vigilant about it. We need to be sober about it. And we need to be making adjustments now to be able to face it. In addition to that, it seems that the Federal Reserve has begun making hints that because of what's happening in the Middle East and because of what oil is doing, it looks like quantitative easing 3 may be the next set of plans for the Federal Reserve. In November, QE2 started, which was the Federal Reserve purchasing Treasury notes, which actually started the implosion of the dollar's value. And after that happened is when we really saw silver take off and gold take off. That was in November. Here we are in March. QE2 is supposed to last until June of this year, which is just a few more months. But the Federal Reserve is already hinting that QE3 is going to take over after QE2, which means this, folks. The continued demise of the U.S. dollar is not going to be stopped. It's insane, folks. The policies that are being enacted, every one of them seem to be self-destructive. They seem to be financial suicide. For the person standing on the sideline that would want to scream and say, don't you see what you're doing? Why are you doing that? And you know, folks, it doesn't make sense, but it has been decided. And that is why I have continued to say over and over, this thing is not going to be stopped. The judgment on America is happening. God is in heaven. He is allowing Bible prophecy to take place. But in addition to that, he is going to judge this nation. Part of judgment occurs through the mandates, through the legislation, and through the policies and decisions that the leaders of governments make. And since America is under judgment, that means that the leadership of this government is making very, very unwise choices. They are making foolish choices that are going to result in the destruction of this nation's economy. But part of the reason that they are making these choices is because God is ensuring that they do it. In a way, he could be guiding them to do it. Now, how does God do that? Does he whisper in their ear? Does he send an angel to whisper foolish ideas in their ear? Or does he allow the enemy, the powers of darkness, Satan and his minions, does he give them permission to go whisper in the ears of political leaders? I don't know, folks. It could be one or two. It could be all of them. But I know this. It's going to happen because it's happening now. The Holy Spirit has been sharing this information with many of his messengers. And folks, this game is in play. Those of you that are new to this program, I invite you to go to watchmanscry.com and you can listen to those messages. Right, my friends? Well, I know that I shared a lot of information on this program. There's a lot to think about. Folks, take all these matters to heart. Consider them. Keep working on your to-do list. There's a lot of us that need to be making some huge, huge decisions. We have to make some adjustments. We're going to have to get busy, folks. Don't delay. So God bless you, folks. Real quick, programs like this are made available by listeners like you. So take it to God, folks. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. Folks, I really appreciate you. Stay safe, stay vigilant, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.